You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, Cook Unity delivers, made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. Get ready to eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Get what you're craving. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter crave before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's cookunity.com/crave.
Come on.
Welcome to Left Play. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Chunzum Lobsang. Chunzum, are you ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's go.
Nice to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. Chunzum is a Buddhist nun. She's a worldwide teacher of meditation and philosophy in the Tsongkhapa Tibetan tradition. She's the founder of the Limitless Health Institute. Chunzum, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Oh, that's a big question.
Right out of the gate.
Right out. You just go for it. That's super. I think that's where to begin would never work for me. I like to go from where I am now, let's say. And I was thinking, you know, today, talking to you at this time kind of matches to where we are as an organization, Limitless Health Institute. And there's so much anxiety and uncertainty going on. So I've managed to we put together a lot of programs in our organization that reflects how what we also were going through in our personal life during the 2020-2021 pandemic and all that, you know, and that had to come into our work. So our personal lives became a little bit more involved in our work because we were all affected by the same things. And that brought a bit of a unity to our organization and also to the programs that we were doing because there was a certain equanimity in what people were experiencing at that time. And it's still continuing with different events, obviously. So what I do is that, is how much of what my knowledge is throughout my life that I've learned, how can I bring that, my experiences, into helping people to help other people? Because there's nothing better than having a sense of empathy when you are working to help others. And it's not like we all have to go through the exact same experiences through life, but as long as there's some understanding for the same suffering, different experience of it. And that must go back to some deep Buddhist trainings, which I've been studying for over 30 years. And then I also utilize that in my dance movement psychotherapy practice. And that's when we created Limitless Health Institute to bring those ideas together and those kind of services, very personal, creative services to people who needed help.
Love it.
Simple. So, I don't know.
Where did you grow up and how does one become a Buddhist nun?
Yeah, that's I have no idea how that happened, you know, because I am an American. I am a New Yorker. I grew up Lower East Side, you know, and how do you go from a Roman Catholic family, large family, of course, then, right? Roman Catholic, seven kids. And you know, we were good. You know, I did all the things that a young Catholic you know, child with good communion, confirmation, all very rituals, and we went to mass, we did things. So there was already a sense of practice of some kind, whatever your belief is, there's a practice that goes with it. Not just a belief in your mind, just thinking about, you know, God, Muhammad, Jesus, whoever you're focusing on, but there's a principles and values that go along with it. But there's also, how do you this goes right into meditation. It's like, how do you then think of these things every day? How do they become active in your daily life? To me, that's the link between all practices of different faiths and beliefs. There's certain activities of kindness and compassion and love that we carry out throughout the day that then brings the understandings of the different beliefs together. So that slid me right into Buddhist scriptures, because I had questions. I had questions about my, you know, growing up and what is, who is who and who did what and what's happening. And I found that there is an extraordinary amount of literature and commentaries on the few sutras that Lord Buddha had taught. And many of my questions were answered. And that just kept going. Still, we bring those teachings into the programs of LHI.
I love it. So you're a curious person. You are trying to solve life, trying to solve life's mysteries, trying to figure things out, and came upon or across.
Yeah,
and
the chaos of crazy, chaos of crazy growing up, right?
Mm-hmm. All of us. and those really resonated with you. And now, obviously, you've been taking and applying these and putting the beliefs to work in your life for ever since. And mm-hmm. that's led you to found the Limitless Health Institute and to have a focus on meditation and dance and helping people to manage and deal with the anxiety of stress. And that's always been there, and then really exacerbated by the last several years. So as you look out at society, and what are some of those, how are stress and anxiety really manifesting in the world today?
Oh, I don't know. That would have to be up to the individual. Yeah, I mean, how do you want to phrase the question? How do we see it in the environment? How do we see it in ourselves? It would have to be up to the individual of mm-hmm. how stress is so super individual. can we say that every situation that occurs must include a stress? It would be impossible to say that when something happens that every single person would react the same. So stress is a very individual, and it has a lot to do with the stresses we grew up with, you know, like how we were coping and able to manage as we were very young, because that's kind of when a lot of our developmental coping mechanisms come, you know, develop. Is, you know, we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, very young age. And so it depends on a person like that, how they're going to, when they're in an environment that, you know, how do you want to define it? Explosive, you know, like a war zone, or are they in a pandemic? Mm-hmm. Almost forgot about the pandemic.
Right. Almost.
Almost. So
we're all having these individual experiences, and
yeah, because life you can't is stay.
Life is full of pain and suffering in one form or another, and we develop ways to deal with it as little kids, or you know, and I'm sure
continually, because we could go back and rebuild too. You know, if you get super messed up young, we could help. We could all, we have mechanisms and within us that could also rebuild many from traumas, things. Yeah.
That's what a big opportunity is the opportunity to recognize where it is that I am individually experiencing stress and anxiety, how it is that I'm coping with that, and then potentially replace negative or not beneficial coping mechanisms with something that is better.
That's one way to look at that. Yeah, super. you could say that.
What is a better way to say it?
Yeah, I would add more. I know, I would just add more to bring it back to the more personal as well. So let's say an example of someone who just, let's say, gets stressed in a crowd, anxiety in a crowd, especially now. I just did a program and people, you know, it's a choice now where some people are super stressed, they'll wear the mask in a crowd, and some won't, but they're stressed in different ways. So really, it does enter into how do we interact with others. And that's what's really important. So if we're in a situation that might be a little bit stressful, brings up some anxiety, identify, of course, because this is when I feel anxiety is in a crowd. So you could then prepare. One is wear the mask, which then helped that person to get through the crowd, because that was the anxiety, was the COVID. Another person, it's just crowds in general. So what do? They don't have that mechanism maybe to pull up, but just a mask. So then for that person, it's probably something a little bit deeper for all crowds. So already we have to look at that. So one thing is, what is it they might need that would give them comfort in a crowd? And then that would be part of the work that you would do with them to uncover that. They may know, they may not know. They may, again, like you said, use things that temporarily give, or maybe aren't so good as well. They give us comfort. Not everything that gives us comfort is so super good for us after the comfort is gone. Addictions, et cetera, food, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bad relationships.
Bad relationships, prescription drugs.
Drugs. So what we would recommend for that person, once they can identify what they need, they help somebody else in an anxious situation. And between that, in that kind of a relationship, is how you build your own, what you need. So whenever we can find what we need in this particular stressful situation, right, the crowd, we help others also in whatever way we can. Could be just talking to them, listening to them, problem solving with them, or sharing experiences. You just help them with that and continually do it. And your experience will change because you perceive now getting some help because you have seen yourself give help. So the mind now has the capacity to perceive support coming to someone, which is now you, in a crowd, because you now see it, you now have it within your database that you can now see help coming to you because you have done the action yourself. This is a very big thing to understand.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense, how my brain will then connect it and says, oh, look at that. George is capable of helping somebody else, and therefore he's obviously capable of helping himself. So I can move on in a more beneficial way. Mm-hmm. How does meditation fit in, if at all?
Well, meditation within that context, meditation gives you the opportunity to review that and that understanding, and then go deeper than even what you said. There's different types of meditation. You know, there's a type of meditation where you just fix your mind on one single point, a type of meditation where you might review, like studying something, reviewing a list, like just memorizing. Some people review is also sometimes chanting, although they don't call it reviewing, but it's like repeating something over and over in your mind. So that also could come to, some people do meditations. And then also one is to analyze something. And there's a structure in which you can go into something to analyze a certain debate, you know, like a certain way that the mind can debate about what they are perceiving or what they are trying to understand. And now I forgot your question, but
no, that's so Can you share an example of how I might analyze something and how that would be meditative?
Let's see. First, it's an interesting thing because first we have to it's kind of like where some of those meditations will overlap within, okay? So those ideas would overlap within. So there has to be this focus on a single point. You have to be able to get to that focus point. So there's so many things that come before you're able to even focus. So you can't just like jump into analyzing. Otherwise, you might as well do that with your eyes open and debate it and study something. And that's valid. But once you go into a deeper state of meditation, there's to get to that single pointed concentration the analyzation of a topic would turn into a conversation in your head without that single pointed concentration. I don't know how else to say that.
And then I'm not really meditating. Then I'm just,
exactly. You're just talking.
I'm just sort of thinking about something. Mm-hmm.
Which again is a valid. If you could find
sure.
10 quiet minutes in your time to sit and contemplate, this is extraordinary. So it would be beneficial to do that. And then I could, I'm so focused on somebody that I really want to help them, right? So I'm really focused on the kind of help that I want to give them. And I now want to make a plan about how to help them. I can close my eyes and meditate and go through a nice little story of what I might want to do to help them. I'm going to come to your house and you'll open the door and we'll sit down or something like that. You make a plan and then I'll help you do your bills. You know, that's like a thinking thing. But what's the feeling under that? What's my motivation? These are the kind of things where you can go deeper into analyzing. Is that person, how is that person separate from me? How is that person connected to me? How will that plant the seed for me to get help coming back to me? What does that do to my brain waves when I'm actually see myself sitting next to them, helping them with their bills? Their monthly thing, getting, some elder person, that maybe needs some assistance organizing their life. And I have to think about how is that really going to change my life? Because you wouldn't know just thinking about it. So what are the things you would think about?
Yeah, I can see how that goes considerably deeper than me. Just consciously getting out a pen and paper saying, well, on Thursday, I'm going to go over to Janet's house and I'm going to bring over some food and I'm going to cut her grass. And that's going to be it. It's going to be very helpful.
Yeah, which is great.
Which is very, very nice and great. But once you start going deeper and peeling back the layers.
Mm-hmm. So how is that person, to the extent, is that person in the room before I got there? Just to throw you off for a second.
Right. Well, yeah. Let's assume that Janet is just at home because she's not able to leave her.
Well,
home.
let's take every time you walk into an empty room, right? Let's say you walk into a room and there's this some flat surface and there's something on top of the surface. Right? Okay. You walked into the room, but you don't quite identify yet what it is. But you just see the color and the shapes. And at what point do you identify that that's a glass on the table? You might say, oh, when the lights came on, or maybe you were standing in a corner and you couldn't quite see, you know, you could just see the glimmer of the thing. You didn't know it was a glass on the table. And then is it a glass on the table when you walked in the door, or was it when you picked it up in your hand and you said, oh, this is a glass of, you know, that I'm supposed to drink of water or something? When did it become a glass of water? I didn't say water at the beginning, a glass on the table. Sorry.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the kind of thinking you would do in a deeper meditation. And you might review an experience you had when you make contact. Like, when is it that you make contact with the object? We make contact with people around us, with our eyes, ears, all our senses. And then, but the eyeballs just pick up the object. They don't think, oh, he's wearing a, I don't know, blue shirt. I just see shirt. Not even, I just, you know, see head, actually, because I, you know, and then the next you see shirt. Like, what do you even see first? So that's the kind of thinking you might do in a meditation.
Interesting. when have I contacted the water or the glass?
The glass. And, when did it become a glass?
Probably would have said, well, as soon as I can see it clearly, then I'd probably recognize that it's a glass. And right. I would consider contacting it when I pick it up. But I wouldn't.
The eyes also contact.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Sure. Yeah. But I, just
some
because
people do need to feel.
Right. Just because I see somebody on the street doesn't mean I contacted them. And just because I have a conversation doesn't necessarily mean that I contacted them. If we shook hands, maybe that means I contacted them. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, let me ask you a question. When the dog walks into the room and runs over to the table and the glass, you know, let's just say it's, you know, it's not a big accident or anything, but you know, like when they make contact with the glass, we don't know if it breaks or not, but what do they see? Do they see a table, a glass?
What does the dog see? I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know.
So then the question goes, who's right?
Right. Yes.
You know, we call
probably
it equal.
Probably the dog.
There you have it. So is it a glass before you walk into the room?
Yeah, I like it. So how does one enter into the world of meditation?
Well, I think now it's a word that has lost its, you know, like it's a word that's used so often for different things. So I think everybody goes for it for different reasons. It depends on what the word means to them. And then I hope that they find what they seek upon that definition that they find for themselves. But I think meditation is used so often in different situations that now people seek it, you know, and think it is something. What do you think meditation is?
I am a person that I want to have a process that I can follow. And so when I wanted to learn about meditation, I went on YouTube and I just started searching for how to meditate. And so that's how I discovered meditation. And that's essentially that's what sort of got me in the door. So what do I think it is that I don't know that I can necessarily articulate that, other than deep thinking and concentration, perhaps is probably what I would say.
So then that means that's what you would want from it. You know, like, so, I like that you mentioned that YouTube got you in the door. That's really, very common. and it's cool. I think it's great. We do some videos in our Inner Essentials program. We did a lot of videos especially during the quarantine, because, you know, in New York, it went a lot longer than it did in many places. So actually our business increased at that time. We were able to serve people amazing, you know, like more, and they were ready. So Inner Essentials. So there are guided meditations with also visuals. And that will get you in the door, something like that. Like you said, on YouTube, you found something. It's not very instructional. It's more guided meditation. And that's a nice way to get yourself into the door of like, oh, I can sit for 10 minutes, 6 minutes, 12 minutes a day is very practical. Even scientific research has shown how that can affect the brain waves, different illnesses and stuff like that. But we even go beyond that. And then if that gets you in the door, but one thing that's super helpful and almost, I would say, you couldn't do it without a live teacher. A teacher. Maybe they change over to, you know, it's up to, like someone who has the experience themselves and you have a relationship with, because then they can guide you really personally. Because that kind of deep thinking is a very deep personal process, as we started with the conversation, right? Before even how we experience stress or something like that. So with the teacher, and also I would look for a teacher that gives me, like you mentioned, meditation for you is somewhere where you can contemplate and give that kind of time. So look for a teacher that is focused in the same way that you are. And then I think, you know, that's the best way to start.
I love it. Well, Chunzo, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
We have limitless.health.institute is our Instagram. And limitlesshealthinstitute.org is our website. We do lots of programs throughout New York, but of course we now have increased. We're working online throughout the United States, even Europe. We bring programs to your organization, your family, your hospital. We come to you. We customize our programs to your needs. That's how we are so very good at knowing what is it that you need if we could give you and how personal it is. We're ready for your journey.
Love it. If you enjoyed as much as I did, show Chunzam your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find the Limitless Health Institute on Instagram. It's limitless.health.institute. And then find them online at limitlesshealthinstitute.org. I'll link those in the notes of the show. And if you feel like you're stressed out or experiencing anxiety, if you've been thinking about meditation, if you've been meditating about getting into meditation, whatever, check it out. And I think that there is a program that will help you get to where you want to go. Thanks again, Chunzo.
Okay. Thank you. It's been lovely talking about these things.
Likewise. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.